welcome you to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat at C70, and with me as always is Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Birds on the Black, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. And we're in the afterglow of a three-game sweep of the Royals. The Cardinals have won five straight series in a row. And Terry, you know, I think you talked about it last week, where this team always felt like in the past that they were kind of dead and buried in the middle of a game or something, but now they feel like there's always going to be something. There's always going to be some way that they're going to be able to come back or make it interesting, and we saw that today. They were down 2-1, only had like, I think, two hits going into the seventh inning, and wound up winning 8-2. You get into the Royals bullpen, and things got better for the Cardinals in a hurry. This team has shown over the last, you know, 3 weeks, they're resilient and able to score in a lot of different ways.
It's a different team when you watch them on the field, and not just because it's quite literally a different roster than it was in the first half of the season. I haven't looked at it. I want to say that I saw someone tweet out today that there are like six of the original 25 that started opening day on the 25-man roster that are still currently on the 25-man roster. I should have looked that up instead of just assuming that my memory was going to hold from what I read on Twitter. But the point is, there's been a lot of changes to the roster. But I don't think that's it. I think there's a lot of pieces involved in why this team looks so different. Obviously, Matt Carpenter hitting out of his mind at the top of the order is part of it, but there's also just a different sense of I don't even know what the right word is to describe the intensity and the level of competition and the almost just the constant belief that this team is going to do something. Even if they don't end up winning at the end of the night, they're going to do something to make it interesting. And that's certainly what we've seen from just a spectator perspective. But it also seems like that's what you're seeing in the dugout. That's what you're hearing from these guys when you hear the postgame interviews, is that everyone's buying in and everyone's playing their part and doing their job and trusting that the guy behind them is going to do the same. And that seems really simple, but it just sort of goes to show that, you know, whatever was or was not happening in that clubhouse the last couple of years got them pretty off kilter. And, you know, even if it wasn't a matter of everyone in the clubhouse being just terribly unhappy with their lives as members of the St. Louis Cardinals, they'd gotten to a point where things just weren't, they weren't progressing forward. And, you know, maybe they weren't even aware of how desperate things had become until all of a sudden, you know, there's a different attitude, there's a different voice, there's a different focus, and you know, it's turning into results, that's for sure.
Yeah. I kind of pulled up my roster spreadsheet. It looks like it's more like, I think it's 16 of the 25 that started the year, but a lot of those guys have been up and down and back and forth. I mean,
sure.
You know, you've got Yairo Munoz started the year on the team, but, you know, was terrible, went back down, and then has come back up. You had, you know, Greg Holland, who wasn't on the team at the beginning, but was there the day or two later. I bet, though, there's very few people that have made it all the way through this season. And I guess one of them is Greg Garcia, except for his paternity time. Pretty much everybody else and Jose Martinez, I guess, are one of the few that have not spent a significant amount of time out of St. Louis. There has been, you know, a lot of roster turn, most notably the bullpen a few weeks ago. You're right. It is a totally different team, and it's going to be, you know, when we get to the end of the season, whenever it may be, and it may be a little bit later than we thought, the way things are going, I think the easiest thing to do is going to be able to draw a line on July 15th or July 14th, which is, you know, when they changed managers, and compare basically those two halves and say, this is the difference. But you know, it's not really apples to apples to some degree. I mean, the team is better under Mike Shildt. There's no doubt about it. But you look at the options that he has, they're a lot better as well. He just also knows how to use them, which is kind of a change as well. So, I don't know. It's going to be kind of interesting to see how this season and how these things are looked at later on, but there's still quite a bit of this season left to go. The Cardinals with, you know, they're 8-2. They've won 5 in a row. And if the Cubs can lose tonight, and last I checked, they were down 1-0, the Cardinals will be 4.5 out of the Central. And, you know, just a few, now this time last week, they were 4.5 or so out of the wild card. 4.5 out of the Central, and just a game or two out of the wild card. Tara, you know, it's hard to know where the wave crests, but right now it feels like this team could really, really has a strong shot at October.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see the tide turn almost as quickly as it did. And, you know, it was interesting. After the managerial change, of course, the big series in Chicago, you know, things seemed like they were looking better, but the results weren't necessarily following. That wasn't surprising. You know, sometimes it takes a little while with any sort of big change to see dramatic results. I feel like we're suddenly starting to see some of those dramatic results, but the Cardinals are in a really interesting part of their schedule to have this suddenly renewed proximity, if you will, to the postseason, because they're going to be playing the teams that they have to pass in order to get into the playoffs, which can be devastating if you don't win those games, but you also control your own destiny at that point. There have been a lot of series in the past handful of years where the Cardinals had that opportunity. They could control their own destiny in one sense, in playing the teams head to head that they had to beat to put themselves in a playoff spot. And we haven't felt particularly confident that they were going to be able to pull that off. My confidence in this team's ability to at least make it interesting is growing by the day. You know, we were fooled by some big wins early in the season against the Reds before they turned the season around. So it is the Royals, and their season is nothing to get particularly worked up about on the heels of a sweep. But the momentum that the Cardinals seem to have been so allergic to in the last couple of years is, you know, it's getting easier and easier to buy into that. Their playoff odds are increasing by the day, which, I mean, to be fair, they were pretty low when Mike Shildt started. So that's not saying a whole lot, but up over, I think, 20%, playoff odds at this point, which is still, you know, it is what it is, but it's better than the 10 or so that it was when Shildt took over. So you know, it's been fascinating to watch. It's been really interesting to see the difference in the hitting approach team wide. I mean, I just pulled it up and was looking at it. The Cardinals have 2 games since Mike Shildt took over where they struck out 10 times or more. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was happening every other night before the change, the regime shift. I mean, in fact, I think, unless I counted poorly, counting quickly, it was like 30 plus games in the first half of the season that there were double-digit strikeouts. Now, some of those games they won, but many of those games they didn't. So to see the shift in approach, to see the shift in the focus, to see the emphasis on certain points of the fundamentals of baseball, you know, it makes it really easy to start to buy into the talent on this team, because they're getting out of their own way in some of those fundamental things.
Yeah, it is so much better just to see that the approach. And I don't know. I mean, is it the hitting coaches? If it's just, you know, a renewed, you know, reminder of some fundamentals. I don't know exactly what it is, but you know, they're not striking out as much. They're putting runners in motion so that the hits actually matter a little bit more. It's remarkable. Yeah, they're sitting at, like you said, 24.3% according to Fangraphs right now. But I know, at least by one model, even earlier this week, like before this weekend, they were still in the 12-11% mm-hmm. range. When you get some teams in front of you losing, but also then when you get those chances to make those teams lose, it's quite remarkable. Again, a lot of people are probably going to start, you know, with the 2011 talk, which right now is a little bit more justified than it probably normally is.
You want to know what those playoff odds were, by the way?
What were they? They were
went down to 1%. I know that because SCL Cards brought it up the other day in conversation, and he looked it up, so I didn't have to.
There you go. It's nice for Cards to be useful for once.
Yeah. Just figured I'd credit him with that information instead of claiming it for my own.
It's always good. we're all about credits, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite to that level. It was not quite to that kind of hole that they dug.
Yeah.
But the turnaround feels somewhat similar. I mean, happening a little earlier, it hadn't even started in 2011 by this time. But that renewed vigor, that idea that they're going to have that run, that winnings mantra, you know what? I think they, Shilt is 16-9 since he took over. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's even better since the bullpen, you know, turnover. It's fun and exciting to watch this team. Now, again, there's no telling where this wave crests. I mean, it could be that we've seen the high point and they're going to kind of struggle and, you know, they're going to come back to some of their ways. I don't think that's the case, but, you know, it's hard to know. You get all excited about things, and about the time you start getting really excited is about the time baseball kicks you. You know, look at Matt Carpenter, who, you know, what did he hit? Had two hits maybe this weekend, maybe three. I mean, yeah. One was a homer, but, you know, given the fact that we were used to him, you know, hitting about three a night and a couple of homers each time, this was really disappointing, and I don't know what we're going to do with him. Except just let him keep hitting. I don't know. You know, the Cardinals have the Nationals this week. They have the Brewers following that. It's a 7-game homestand. If they win, can they win 5 of those games, do you think?
I think they absolutely can. Baseball's weird, and you never really know what will end up happening. I mean, I was talking to somebody today, and if the Nationals decide to pitch Greg Holland in a close game, he'll either walk in the go-ahead run or the Cardinals will strand the bases loaded. Mm. Those are the two options, it seems, for this Cardinals team. It's interesting because we got to a point where it felt pretty predictable that the Cardinals would go into a big week like this, and even if they swept the Nationals, then they'd get swept by the Brewers or something like that. We were at a point where it felt very predictable to know that even a big week where they could make up a lot of ground was probably not going to do them a whole lot of good. I am struggling in any way to sort of make a prediction about this team right now because it just feels so different and it feels so new and it feels like, everything we thought we could count on as far as the Cardinals are concerned, has been flipped on its head a little bit and in the best possible way. I mean, it's been absolutely brilliant watching Mike Schilt manage this bullpen and, you know, manage the young guys the same way that he manages the veteran players. Although there aren't very many vets left in that, in the bullpen. So, but even that, you know, I feel like that has to be great for the likes of Jordan Hicks to suddenly not be the odd man out, to suddenly not be the guy that everyone, or just Bud Norris picks on. but you know, to have that sort of camaraderie has to be great. For those young guys who are in unfamiliar positions to be able to feed off of each other and learn from the veteran players, but have that sort of comfort level with the guys that they know and the guys that they've come up through the system with. And I think that's only going to make them stronger as a unit in that bullpen, particularly knowing that Mike Schilt trusts those guys in any situation. And you get the feeling that those guys trust Mike Schilt and Mike Maddox to put them in a situation where they can succeed, which is, it's so different to think about the bullpen that way and to not worry so much about the way that they're used just based on the track record of the previous manager.
Speaking of the bullpen or how pitchers may be used, the Cardinals started Tyson Ross today. The Cardinals picked up Tyson Ross this week. I guess we should probably get to that as well. I guess maybe they had done that last Sunday. We talked about it a little bit. But Tyson Ross made it onto the Cardinal roster with the idea that he was going to be a long relief. Another one of those guys that when Mike Schilt feels like the starter has to leave after the third inning, there's plenty of arms out there to do that. Instead, Luke Weaver apparently... And Tara and I were trying to figure this out earlier because the rumor is, or the story is, I don't know how accurate it is, but that he cut himself on aluminum foil, which both of us agree that the edges of an aluminum foil box are ridiculously sharp and probably could be licensed as a lethal weapon in some states. But we haven't quite figured out how a major league pitcher was, what he was doing with aluminum foil on the road. I don't know if this was some sort of, you know, rookie prank gone awry or or what the case may be, but... Anyway, whatever the case, Luke Weaver couldn't go today. Tyson Ross pressed into starting duties very last minute, it sounds like. It just went out and threw six innings, two runs, and wound up winning the ballgame. Did you see anything from Tyson Ross that, I don't know. I mean, from everything I saw, it looked like he's definitely going to be an option one way or another in this bullpen, and it doesn't look like he's going to be a liability.
Yeah, no, he looked good. He looked sharp. Again, it's the Kansas City Royals who have not, won very many games this year. So it's hard to draw too much of a hard conclusion. But coming in, you know, with about an hour's notice, it sounds like, that he was going to get the start. One of the things that a lot of people were concerned with was his ability to go deep enough into games to start as opposed to be used as a reliever. And he pitched through six innings and it was not a struggle. He gave up a couple of runs. But for the most part, I felt like he kept the ball down pretty well. Some ground balls that got through for base hits, which is going to happen, but he certainly didn't look like the struggling pitcher that everyone that everyone on Twitter tried to tell me he was going to be, based on some of the raw numbers from his season in San Diego. But you know, I'm certainly not the pitching analysis expert. There are plenty of other people who can tell you more about the specifics and the mechanics of his pitches. But I thought I was watching carefully because of the newness to it. And I felt like he worked with Yadi well. He didn't ever really seem to be struggling. And he didn't get into too many long innings. I mean, he finished the day with three consecutive 10 pitch innings in the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings. So gave up a couple of runs in six innings and saved the bullpen on a day where the starter couldn't go. Man, that's all you could possibly want from him right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, the Cardinals could have absorbed that. I mean, you know, Alan and I were talking last night during Meet Me at Mutual or around when we were recording, but the way that this bullpen is constructed, you know, they've got guys that can go two, three, four innings on almost like four or five of those guys. So it's like they never really get shorthanded. You know, as we have seen in the past with a lot of one inning guys, you start getting guys where you can't use them as much. But right now, there's always seems to be arms available, even if a starter leaves early. But to not have to go to that route to be able to see Ross come out, and I don't know if he's been working with Mike Maddox over the time that he's been in St. Louis and made some changes or not. And like you said, there's others that will probably analyze that in the next day or two. But I think it's very, you know, it's just another option for the Cardinals to have, and it plays into Mike Schilt's tendencies of his ability to go out there and say, I've got a spot here in the fourth where I need a, you know, we need a big hit. I'm going to pinch hit, or I'm seeing something I don't like out of this guy. I'm just going to go ahead and get him, even though, and not make it where you're going to have a burden over the next few days if you do that. So,
and that's why I felt like this was such a solid pickup. You know, whether he started or not, he was going to provide that sort of security blanket, right? That, you know, Mike Schilt is obviously not hesitant to manage a bullpen aggressively. The way that that works is that you have multiple options for every scenario. And when you've got guys that have been starters, you're certainly not concerned about, guys having to go more than an inning. But when you have the flexibility of Tyson Ross pitching as a long reliever, if one of your young starters needs a backup plan, or you have the ability to throw him out there as a starter when one of your starters can't go and you don't want to use three different arms out of your bullpen that day. I mean, it's an incredible amount of flexibility that was such a low risk pickup that, because like you said, they could have absorbed it without him, but if they don't have to, why not? And then, you know, save your big arms out of the bullpen for the big series on the homestand coming up. It makes so much sense based on the way that Mike Schilt has proven, even in just a short amount of time, his aggressiveness with the pitching staff, but the intelligent aggressiveness, not just, you know, it's kind of like the base running. It's smart aggression, not just aggressive for the sake of being aggressive. But, you know, there was the little footnote of the contract with Tyson Ross that, yes, he's making more money every time he starts as opposed to pitching in relief. But that's such a blip on the radar for the Cardinals right now that they can use him however it best makes sense. And it really shouldn't even be part of the conversation.
And just to make you feel good, Tyson Ross's first start for the Cardinals is better than either one of the starts that Chris Archer has done for the Pirates. your point that Ross could be what Chris Archer could be for the Cardinals for this season so far has a data point for you. We'll see if it continues. But so far, so good. The Cardinals also got debuts this week from a couple of guys. One we kind of thought would happen. One, I'm not sure we ever really did. Adolis Garcia got called up when, I don't even remember who's getting hurt now. There's so many of them. Jairo Munoz, I think, is when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler O'Neill got
hurt. Go back a DL.
Tyler O'Neill's about to come back off the DL. Yeah. So that's what it's this year, I tell you.
Yeah.
Adolis Garcia comes up, and we finally get to see him a little bit. You know, I have a feeling it's going to take him a while to get his legs in the major leagues. He hasn't seemed to quite get there yet. I mean, he's defensively fine, but we haven't seen a lot. He's gotten his first major league hit and all that. But, and then we saw Patrick Wisdom come up today. Again, a guy that has never been on the 40-man roster, was left unprotected in the Rule 5 draft last year. All the teams passed on him. You know, he's shown power at Memphis. I've always felt that he's at best probably a quad A player, and he very well may be, but comes in today, gets his first hit as a little dribbler that counts as a line drive of the box score, as I like to say. And he scores a run, and then the next time up, he gets a base hit that ties the game up, I believe. And if nothing else, this season has given us a lot of those moments, a lot of those debuts, a lot of those, you know, guys making and getting that first experience, and that's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. There's almost nothing as enjoyable, you know, outside of watching your team win a World Series than Major League debuts. I mean, it's just so much fun to see. And I don't want to make it sound like I enjoy them more than other people, but because I work, with minor league teams so regularly, I feel like there's a little bit of I feel like my perspective on it always goes back to seeing them on those the very first days of their professional career, and it's so much fun to see those guys, you know, whether they're guys that I've seen in the minor league system or not, you know, get that moment. And Patrick Wisdom happens to be one of those guys that has been around quite long in the Cardinals organization. And I did get to see him coming up through the system, and, you know, he was always one of the guys that everyone liked, always worked hard, always seemed to put up decent numbers, but wasn't necessarily the top prospect, wasn't necessarily the guy that was going to get the first look or the first call up. And you know, you see a guy like that, and a lot of times those guys never actually get their shot at a major league debut. And quite honestly, in almost any other season, he still would not have. I even said as much the other day on Twitter that his call-up was the product of a very strange season, but I don't know that you could find a guy more deserving. So it's a lot of fun to see him just get that opportunity, get, you know, the name on a big league jersey, his family was there, and then to, you know, have a couple of hits and drive in a run today that tied the game. That's all icing on the cake, I think. And, you know, I don't know how long he'll stick. I don't know how much more of an opportunity he'll get with the Cardinals, but it was great to see that happen for St. Louis, as opposed to him finally, eventually somewhere ending up with another team and, you know, having yet another former Cardinal, farmhand make their debut elsewhere.
Yeah. And you say that you know, because we don't know how long this will last. It's a very good possibility he might stay up after O'Neill comes back, which should be this week, just because they still need the infield help.
Right.
But there is going to come a time soon. Dominic Leone is already on his rehab assignment. He'll be activated before the end of the month, I believe. Adam Wainwright goes out tomorrow to throw an inning or so for Palm Beach and starts his day, his clock, which means he'll be able to come back in September. You know, both of those guys, Michael Walker will be coming back soon, but he's still on the 10-day DL, which surprised me. But both those guys are on the 60-day DL, and means they're going to have to find roster spot for both of those guys when they're actually ready to bring them back. And, you know, that's a place where Patrick Wisdom may get the squeeze again. You know, and hopefully he gets to make enough of an impression right now that if that happens, he can catch on with somebody else, or maybe the Cardinals can trade him to somebody else and he doesn't have to worry about it. Those are things to worry about, but you know, those are down the line too. We can enjoy the fact that, he made his debut and he had such an impact, today, and hopefully for the next week or two, get some chances out there. Before we wrap it up, I guess we probably ought to talk about the end of today's game. There was a few inside pitches, if you will. The Royals hit four batters, one of which was Harrison Bader. I think it nicked his pant leg or something, so that hardly counts. But the last of which was Wally Cabrera, who we've seen a number of times with the Brewers, basically drilling Matt Carpenter in the ribs with a 97-mile-per-hour fastball. And not necessarily, you know, didn't look a lot like a pitch that got away, but the umpire did not think there was any intent or whatever, and the game went on. Well, with two outs and two strikes on the batter in the bottom of the inning of the ninth, Tyler Webb's pitch gets away from him, hits the batter. I don't even know who was batting then. Which got him immediately ejected, which seems a little bit unfair. And that also raised the ire of Mike Schilt. It's been a while since we've seen a guy go out, a manager. I mean, not that Mike Matheny didn't occasionally go out there and get heated, but I don't know.
He had to build up to it, though.
Yeah, and sometimes Mike went out and argued, and it was like, what are you arguing about? You know, it's almost like manufactured outrage or something like that. This was very, you know, very in the moment. He didn't get tossed, which is I thought for a minute there he might. It was a little bit interesting to see him standing up for his players like that.
It was great. I mean, there's a lot been made about the fact that Mike Matheny opted to not use any profanity in his quote tirades. But I don't think that's really the issue for me. The issue is that I felt like, especially in the last days of the Mike Matheny era, that sounds very dramatic, but you know, it felt like there were moments where whether what happened on the field was accurate or not, whether it was going to change the outcome of the game or not, he needed to show his guys that he had their back. And for a manager who spent so much time and so much, put so much thought, as we heard from, the man himself after the fact, into speaking to the media, speaking to the public in a way that was attempting to shield his players, we didn't see that same intensity in the way that he would stand up for guys on the field. Now, you know, maybe he just came at it from the approach that, I mean, if the guy was wrong, I'm not going to stand up for him and say that he wasn't, but that's not really a great approach for a manager. So yes, there were several times in the last couple of weeks, especially, I felt like, man, he just needed to get in somebody's face and turn some tables over or something, just to show that he was as invested and that he was as in it as the guys were, or as he was expecting them to be. And we didn't see that. So to see that, in a situation that seemed really unnecessary to begin with, and to see Mike Schilt, who seems to be a pretty quiet, pretty reserved, you know, nice guy, go out there and make sure he got his point across without hesitation. You know, it was great. It was great to see that sort of fire in him. And I'm sure that I don't think he needed a whole lot of help gaining respect from his players, but some of the new guys that didn't come up through the Cardinals organization, Tyler Webb being one of them, you know, I think it's a good thing for them to see that and for them to know that he really does have their back.
Yeah, I mean, you contrast that with that series in Milwaukee, which we've kind of is, I think, the tipping point from all the accounts, where they had the terrible game, but they also had that game where Tommy Pham got tossed out in like the first inning.
Yeah.
for you know, he took a strike, he complained, he went to the back of the dugout, yelled a little bit, got tossed out of the game, and Mike Matheny went out there and jawed a little bit, but, you know, it's one of those situations where you just gotta get tossed out there.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Right.
gotta get thrown out there.
You know, it was like textbook managing there. You get tossed out, and if nothing else, to help, you know, you maybe fire your team up or give them some sort of rallying cry, or at least let them know you're behind them. And I think he didn't do that. I mean, he was, like I said, argued a bit and didn't do it.
If he didn't want to, you know, vocalize anything that would get him tossed out, he could just do what that minor league player did earlier this week. I don't know if you saw the video where he replaced the umpire with a trash can from the dugout on his way. I guess he'd already been tossed, but nonetheless,
yeah.
I think that would have done it.
No, I mean, there are ways. There's no doubt. I mean, right. Mike Matheny has been tossed out of games before.
I've seen it in person. It happened.
See, there you go. Maybe you just need to be there. Maybe that's
maybe. For him and Colton Wong, apparently.
Right, exactly. you know, there are, like you said, there are ways. All you have to do, if nothing else, is argue long enough.
Yeah.
And they'll toss you out because you've been out there too long. I completely respect Matheny's choice of, or lack thereof, of language. But there are ways to make that point, get that point, and get yourself a nice afternoon off or whatever by without it. But yeah, it was good to see Schilt out there, and you know, it is very interesting to hear him explain it afterwards and say, you know, look, I just looked down for a minute just to make a note, and I look up, and Yachty's in the manager's face, or the umpire's face, and it's like, oh, I gotta get out there. But yeah, it was just really very, very weird situation for C. You know, the Cardinals get hit four times, and nobody makes any big deal out of it, which is kind of what Schilt said in a little bit stronger language. And then, you know, the first... And let me tell you, I figure Tyler Webb hit him. I mean, two strikes, two outs.
Sure.
I'm not going to argue that he probably could hit him. And if you have the idea that if somebody hits intentionally, they should be tossed, fine. But, you know, if you're going to judge intent like that, I think Cabrera would have been tossed as well. And I don't know that you can really judge intent. Anyway, that's an argument. And, you know, again, headhunting or whatever the case may be is a bit of a I don't know, hot button issue maybe in baseball now, and not one that we're going to sit here and debate when we've already hit the end of our show. But anyway, it was very interesting. You know, I guess we've kind of wanted to see. I don't know that we've had it at the forefront of our thoughts, but it's always been interesting to see how would Mike Shildt react. Because, like you said, he feels like he's fairly calm, even though he is a baseball guy. He's not, you know, stoic or anything like Mike Matheny was, but you just didn't know how he would respond to something like that. And now we've gotten a little bit of taste of that. And again, I think situations like this are only helping Mike Shildt keep that job when it comes
absolutely.
To this winter.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's interesting when he was first given the interim title, there were a lot of people, myself included, that were basically saying, look, that's great. And I'm glad he has the opportunity. But I think the Cardinals need to do their job and look at their options and, you know, take very seriously this task of finding a new manager for the team, because we'd all been pretty burned by their last choice in manager. However, it's been impressive how quickly Mike Shildt has not only made himself one of the top names on the list, but is working towards realistically almost eliminating the need for a list because of the way that he's managing, because of the respect that he's gained from the players, seemingly from the front office, the staff that is working with him, and the job that they've done in turning some fundamental things around. It would be very difficult, I think, especially if he ends up taking this team to a wild card spot, to look at him and say, hey, thanks for your time. How do you feel about going back to being a bench coach? And I think that the Cardinals fans might actually storm the castle if that happened at this point. So, you know, Mo, if you're listening, anytime you want to remove that interim tag, I think there are a lot of people who would be very supportive of that choice.
And that's fair, but I also feel like, you know, the Cardinals, because it's Mo, are going to do their due diligence, because
right.
Mo likes to say the word due diligence.
Just so we can say that
yeah,
word.
Right. But, you know, there is something to that, because, I mean, not that I don't have any idea what Mike Shildt wants, obviously. I'm actually not really close to him. I know. It's surprising. But, you know, I figure he wants to manage in the major leagues, and I don't see any reason why he doesn't want to. But he also follows in the path of George Kissel, and George Kissel was a guy that did not necessarily want to major. I mean, he was on the major league coaching staff for a while and then wanted to be back at the minor leagues to teaching players, and that's what he wanted to get at. And again, I don't know that that's what Mike Shildt wants to do, right, you know, fully, but he obviously has a gift for that. If that was something that he would be wanting to do, then, you know, maybe that's why the Cardinals have to go out and look for something. But I think more than anything, they interviewed him just to make sure that nothing, you know, they can say that they interviewed. But
sure.
It seems more and more likely that that's just a formality. And it may be that it gets to the point where, yeah, if it's such a formality, you know, why waste the time of Joe Girardi or whoever else they may want to look at when you know. Then again, that never stopped them, you know, from interviewing Terry Francona when they apparently wanted Mike Matheny. So, you know.
True.
Of course, we saw how that turned out, too. So maybe,
right.
You know.
Maybe they've learned.
That's right. Well, the Nationals have tacked on a couple more runs, and they're in the top of the ninth with a 3-0 lead. So hopefully they can hold that, and the Cardinals can be that much closer to the Cubbies. And hopefully the Cub Nation is probably starting to melt down or something with people getting close to them. We can only hope. But
Brewers fans certainly are.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Full meltdown.
I gotta wonder. I mean, yeah, you're right. Some of those fan bases that look in like that Cardinal Devil magic, these Cardinals are coming up out of the rearview mirror and, you know.
And this is a total side note. It has nothing to do with anything else except me just taking more time on this show.
Sure.
You're welcome. but I always find it so fascinating that the consistent thing that Cubs fans or Brewers fans will say to me about the Cardinals is that it's always some guy they've never heard of. And once again, the Cardinals have a roster full of minor league players they've probably never heard of that are turning things around. So it'll be interesting to see the way that the opposing NL Central fan bases react when they start hearing names like Patrick Wisdom and even Dakota Hudson, because that's not a guy that they were expecting to see this year. And you've got guys all over the field. Harrison Bader at least is someone that people have seen a bit, but maybe wasn't expected to be the star center fielder. So there's a little bit of extra pleasure involved for me when it's these minor league guys that come up and make the difference, just because it seems to always be that way, at least in the eyes of Cubs and Brewers fans.
Of course, and then there's Tyson Ross, who is terrible. It comes to St. Louis and throws an excellent start. So if he keeps that up, then there'll be some people like that. Of course, on the flip side of that, everybody else seems to have a Cardinal killer, at least on their team. I don't know that the Cardinals have any, like Cub killers or Pirates.
I don't know. Matt Carpenter hit 3 home runs in that one game.
Matt Carpenter just killing everybody right now. I don't know that he has a history. Sure. It's not like Jed Jerkle with the Padres or something like that.
Cubs fans might take it a bit more personally, it may not actually be.
Maybe there is one and we just don't see it because, that's just not it's like, man, that guy, he's always doing this. Which they always seem to have in Pittsburgh for sure. They grow them out there. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Well, we will be back at you next week, and we'll see how this week turns out. It's a big week for the Cardinals, but really, honestly, every week from now on is a big week.
Yeah.
There's only 4-5 series left in the whole year against teams that are not somewhat related to this race, either the NL Central or the NL Wild Card. There's really, they got through Kansas City, but there's not a whole lot more of those kind of games left. And so they're going to have to play well every night. And so far, they've been able to do that. So we'll see how that continues. So, Taryn, I'll be with you next week, and we'll talk about it then. So until then, good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.
I see that apparently Brian Madsen does not like the Cubs because he hit 2 of them in this inning.
Well.
And now the bases are loaded with 2 outs. And if Wilson Contreras hits a freaking grand slam, I won't be surprised.